This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill is not here today. Carlo Koliakovo is in from First Up, and Jamie Noodles McLennan around the table. Ray Ferraro will join us here in a moment. The Leafs are back in action tonight at home, taking on Winnipeg. Auston Matthews will not go tonight. They did not announce what the injury is, but he's dealing with something. Sheldon Keefe said it will not keep him out of the lineup long term, but last time he left the lineup for a few games, he came back, and it took him a little while to get back up to speed and get cooking again. And he's no different than anyone else on the team. It's ultimately about the playoffs and making sure you're ready to go.
Right.
But when you look at the lineup tonight, Tavares is going to move up. He's going to play on a line with Marner and Galchenyuk. You take Matthews out. You take Nylander out. And you realize, like, it gets thinner quickly, right? Like, they're not alone.
Sure.
You take Marchand and Pastrnak out, it gets thin. You take McKinnon and Rantanen out, it gets thin.
Yeah, you name it. Your top-end guys, if they're missing,
absolutely,
it drops off quite quickly.
Yeah.
You know?
And this
on
is
any team.
This is a system night, I would think. This is Jack Campbell responding, which I'm very curious to see what it's going to look like. I was on First Up with Landsberg today, and our boy Death Row was in there for you, Carlo. And Michael asked me, you know, about the two goaltenders, Freddie and Campbell, and if they're both healthy, basically, who do you have more faith in? And I love what I've seen out of Campbell. How can you not? The stats speak for themselves. He's making history here in Toronto. But I want to see what he looks like after a loss.
Yeah.
I want to see how he battles out of a slump, because it's inevitable. That's what happens in pro sports. Yeah. Like, I don't have those answers, right?
No.
Like, we don't have them yet. So I think I'm going to be quite intrigued to see what kind of night we get out of Campbell tonight. And with Matthews out, Nylander out, they might have to hunker down here against a pretty good Winnipeg team.
Yeah, I mean, the one, I wouldn't call it saving grace, is that Winnipeg, this is their third game in four nights.
Right.
They played last night, you know, and it is weird. Like, Ottawa has given Winnipeg, Toronto, and Montreal like
fits.
Trouble all year. Like, you know, regardless if those teams win, because I think Winnipeg is like 6-2 against Ottawa, but those have been hard fought, like gritty, you know, battles. I think it's their 6-2. I can't remember what it's something like that. But same thing, you know, you guys watch the Leaf games. The Leafs came out on top last game, but it was 6-5. Like, it, you know, they're not easy games,
no.
You know, and so I think Winnipeg is probably going to try and start quick, and then, you know, as we see in back-to-back situations, sometimes teams hit the wall, and that's where, you know, you can take over if you're the fresher team. But
Hellebuyck didn't play last night, though,
didn't
so he
play
should
last
be fresh
night,
tonight.
So you got a fresh goalie, and you're right, you're missing Matthews. Their power play has, you know, if that's one thing you circle that you'd like to see maybe get going, is that's something, because maybe that's what wins you a game tonight. You know, if you play well 5-on-5, then your special teams are the difference. Like, that's something. I thought I saw a stat. I think it was Gibby put it out, or you know, Masters or somebody, saying their power play with the absence of Matthews has been pretty good, which is, you know, maybe they're looking at different options. Like, that's kind of, instead of having him as a trigger man or a guy that everything runs through. So guys are going to get opportunities. That's ultimately what it is. And you know, we'll see how it unfolds tonight.
And Noodles, you brought up the great point about the power play. Maybe part of the reason why that it struggles so much is because teams have figured them out with Matthews in there. Now Matthews isn't in there. You have another guy filling it in, and they just get back to basics. Shoot the puck. Retrieve the puck. You know, get pucks at the net. Win those battles in and around the net that may create that extra second or third chance that might get you the goal that you need. But, you know, to talk about Matthews, like, I'm not going to overreact about him being out of the lineup, because the Maple Leafs right now have built themselves the luxury, having a 5-point lead, and depending on what happens tonight, it could be a 3-point lead, where they can allow these guys to take a night off. And believe me, if they have an insurmountable lead down the stretch here, you're going to see more guys getting nights off, you know, down the stretch, especially the older guys. They saw Spezza take one last night. Maybe you give Thornton a couple of days rest. But guys that are feeling it right now, you know, you talked about earlier about maybe what Matthew is going to. When you're playing every other day, your hips are sore, your groins are sore, you know, your lower back, whatever it may be. Maybe this is one of those things. Remember, the Maple Leafs have never had this luxury down the stretch to be able to afford to say, okay, we're going to try something different tonight.
It's a very, very good point. And even outside of the pursuit from Winnipeg and or Edmonton, they are making the playoffs,
yes.
Right? Like, they may not end up with the top seed. Uh-huh. Statistically, it feels like that's where it's going to go. I mean, based on the odds and based on the math, that's likely where they're going to end up, but no guarantees. But there's no 18-wheeler here where they're falling below Calgary. So yeah. Load management, we saw what the Raptors did a few years ago, right? Like, make sure you are prepared for the playoffs. That is what the Brooklyn Nets are doing right now. They don't even feel the team most nights. They went into Philly last night, Durant out, Harden out. Like, they're just sitting guys because they're like, we don't care where we end up. We just want to be at 100% come playoff time. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Ray, how would you draw the line on that, you know, making sure that everyone's healthy and feeling good come playoff time, but also keeping your eye on the pursuit of that top seed in the North?
It's more – obviously more important to get there healthy than to get there in first place. To get there with your lineup sorted the best that you can. You know, we always talk about, you know, trying to time and to hit things at the right time, your timing being most important about just about anything. And I mean, you'd love to do both, but right now, isn't this about, you know, making sure Matthews is healthy and you're going to get Nylander back at some point here. And, you know, and Anderson starting to skate and trying to figure out the bottom end of your lineup. Well, for that matter, the top end, because Nick Foligno's going to gum things up when he comes in. Like, there's lots of stuff to happen with not very much time, really, to figure it out.
Well, you know, all I could think about right now is I would welcome the league saying, Edmonton, Vancouver, you're canceled. Oh, and guess what? The Leafs, you're canceled too. Let's push this game. Let's figure it out. Give the Canucks the weekend off. And if I'm the Toronto Maple Leafs, I would welcome that, because all that does is buy yourself. I know you'll get jammed up somewhere else, but I would much rather have a few more days of rest. Maybe that's a couple more days of Freddie skating. There's another scenario where Nylander gets back into the mix. And, oh, well, Austin Matthews gets a couple more days instead of having to go on the road. Like, I would like to see both of those games canceled this weekend. And more, I guess, selfishly, reliefs. But more for the Vancouver Canucks, too. Like, that JT Miller, you know, his comments.
That was pretty raw. Yeah, it was pretty open and honest.
That's the truth. You know?
They clearly were having some real issues with COVID, which is not a surprise, but like and they understand what they're about to go through, right, Ray? Like, 16 games in very few days after what they just battled. I understand why they're concerned and why they're not happy.
Yeah, for sure. What I don't understand is, how did it get there? Like, who agreed to that?
Well, I believe it was the return to play, and they, the PA and their doctors, like
the accountants did. That's who agreed to it.
Well,
the
but
money.
I think it got jammed up by the Jay Beagle situation, because there was, it looked like they were headed of coming off, and then all of a sudden Beagle got added. I think it was like Monday or something, like, and they were supposed to practice, and then it got pushed around.
Yeah, delayed it a couple more days.
And delayed, and so all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, Friday was the projected game, because you were going to be on the ice Monday night and you could get that week underneath your belt. And then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose and it's like Wednesday. And, oh, hey, oh, by the way, we're going to try and get on the ice one day and then play back to back. Like, that's where I think basically it got all screwed up, is there was a late case that came in. But to me, that's where the adjustment should come, because you're working off of that. You're not just working off guys coming off.
I think we often want the solution to be so simple. So just think of that, Noodles. So it was Beagle Monday, so that gums up the return to the rink, which gums up the practice day. Well, right away, that should have been a red flag for Friday. However, right. It's not just Friday. It is for the Canucks, but it's also for the Oilers. And then, oh, what do we do about Saturday with the Leafs? And all of a sudden, you've got 15 games that are now impacted.
Right.
And you got to fit those other games in somewhere too, because Edmonton doesn't just play Vancouver. They've got to get their other games in too.
Yeah.
So I thought, like, there's no, I was st- stunned that the PA had signed off on this.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the way
Ray,
that schedule looked, guys, that was crazy.
Ray, I think an example of what we're seeing right now of the difficulty that a team may go through is what Montreal's going through. They just finished their ninth game in 15 days, and they have 16 in the next 25. And they've only won four of those nine games.
And they got backed up earlier in the year. It happened to Jersey. It's happened to Buffalo. Like, the man, there's no way to do it right, I don't think.
Right.
Especially if that goal is to always get to 56 games.
Right.
And I think we all understand why they want to do that, because it's the most fair playing field. But I guess I'm a little surprised, given the way the year has gone, that they're so steadfast on that 56. Like, well, why points percentage can't be every bit as important.
Yeah, I'm more cynical, Ray. I think it has more to do with just the money as opposed to the balance. I think it's simply the money. And it's media agreements, it's sponsorship agreements, and like the NBA is going through it right now where, you know, there's a lot, like I mentioned before you came on, the Nets, they're not even playing guys. They're basically just conceding games, and there's getting a lot of complaints, and then the players are coming out and saying, man, we're having a tough time here, and the owners are like, man, I don't like what's going on, and all of a sudden a third party steps in and goes, guys, do you remember why you put forward like this protocol and all these games? Mm-hmm. Simply for the money. Simply for the money. And I think that's what's happening here. Like, Vancouver's not playing for anything. They're done. It's over. Yeah. They could not play again all year. Wouldn't affect anything in terms of who they are or what they are. But it's money. It's cynical, but I think it's just a reality.
And now, Hayes, let me just touch on that a little bit. And I don't know if this is a stupid idea, but I'm going to throw it out there. In training camp, they run split squad games. Do you think there will be a conversation that maybe when the American League team is done, that they would scrap the whole cap situation and say, hey, it's the best interest of our players to run a split squad and get these games done?
I don't know if that's possible, Ray. You might know better than I would in terms of total amount of players.
My answer would be no, because how would you ever – when you say scrap the cap, what about the other teams?
Right.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Like, do they get to do it too? Does all of a sudden, you know, it becomes a free-for-all. Unfortunately, the system is the system, It is what it is. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to get, a pretty ambitious 56 games in. They booked a week extra. I mean, maybe it needed to be longer. I mean, in hindsight, it looks like it should have had an extra week in there somewhere, but man, they want to get this year over so they can get to next year.
Right.
Yeah.
I
agree.
There's no domino that doesn't fall here that affects something else shortly down the road.
I agree. I just wanted to add on to this too. It's come north of the border, but you're right, Ray. Like, Dallas went through it early on. Buffalo's gone through it. Jersey went through it. Like, all I can think about is, when did we have Eric Staal on? Was that 2 weeks ago?
A couple weeks ago.
He said something that resonated with me, because O asked him, like, you know, what the hell went on in Buffalo? And he's like, I can't really tell. It's not just one thing. He was like, you know, it was a stepladder of things. But I remember him saying that, you know, guys got COVID and it went right through the room. And he's like, there were guys who really struggled to recover from it. And that's all I could think about is, you know, you're sitting there watching, and I know we want a product every night, but there's probably guys that like had half energy, that were having tough breathing, like different, it hits everyone differently. And that's all I could think about when I heard JT Miller speak last night. It's like, you get Vancouver, even if Vancouver was forced to play this weekend, and I don't know if they're going to or not, but you're not going to get 100% of anybody. You know, and now you're putting them in a situation where that's almost guaranteed injuries. That's guaranteed, you know, inconsistency, all of that type of stuff. Like, there's a human factor here. And I think that's where probably the meetings and the doctors and the PA stepped in and said,
absolutely,
hey, we gotta move
and
this
they
around
should.
Here.
And they should. And, but again, to get back to the cynical one here.
Money, business.
And at some point, the PA is going to be like, guys, we got to get paid here too. It's tough. Yeah. Like, it's really a difficult line to draw at this point, Ray.
I would say there would be zero chance I would be sitting on that bench on the game, out of wind, you know, feeling crappy and not think, this is stupid. What are we doing?
Right.
You know what you guys would think? I know I would think it. I would go, this is stupid. Like, what are we doing? There's nobody in the building. We're not right. I can't even get up and down the ice without being totally gassed here. And we got to play again tomorrow?
Against Edmonton and Toronto, too. Like, yeah. McDavid, Draisaitl, then Matthews, Marner.
Can you imagine? Oh. Like, you know, like, you're JT Miller. You can barely catch your breath, and you got to go up against 97. He's had a week off, and he's ready
coming.
To go.
Yeah, and chasing something. Chasing positioning, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, it sounds that, I mean, Pierre LeBrun tweeting, it sounds like even Saturday's game is on the road.
Going to be postponed. Well, if you look at the Leafs' schedule, because the Leafs are supposed to be in there on Saturday night. They were supposed to play Vancouver Saturday night and Monday night. Maybe they go back-to-back. Maybe they give Vancouver an extra day there, go Sunday, Monday, and that gets that part of the schedule out of the way. It doesn't affect the Leafs. It doesn't affect Vancouver necessarily. Because the Leafs are going on the road. They're at Vancouver for two and then at Winnipeg for three. But if they go back-to-back, and I'm just assuming this at this point, if they go back-to-back Sunday, Monday, that would be Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Five games with two days off for the Leafs. I mean, that's basically an American Hockey League schedule.
Well, and now you're putting guys in a tough situation again there, too, right?
Absolutely.
The difference there is that, yeah, they could be tired, but they're not compromised before they start.
Right.
Agreed.
So you also have a taxi squad. You've got extra guys around. You might have to move guys, roll guys in and out of your lineup that you wouldn't normally do. You know, never mind just the older guys, but what's wrong with giving Marner a day off?
Yeah.
Like, if you have to do it, you have to do it. Now, I heard an interview or something or other with Elliot earlier talking about one of the reasons that, like, this is his words, not mine, that one of the reasons that game scheduled for Saturday is because they want that doubleheader game on Saturday night.
Of course. Yep.
So back to your original point, Brian.
Well, that they were in that position a couple of weeks ago, right?
Where they didn't have one, right?
They didn't have a doubleheader.
Yeah.
No, they didn't. They didn't have a doubleheader on hockey night. And that, you know, that's it's not our company, but we know the price tag that comes with it, and that's the reality. We're talking about business here and health and safety. It's complicated. It makes it tough. With Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, this probably comes down to what we're dealing with because of COVID, where it feels like there's two leagues. There's the Canadian League and then the American League. I wasn't aware that Marc-Andre Fleury was lurking around the record books.
Crazy.
He wins last night, 485th win of his career. He's fourth all time. He passed Eddie Beaufort last night.
Wow.
Fourth all time. And
remember when he was done?
How many times was he done, Ray? Felt like three or four different times he was finished.
Amazing. He's been going to Vegas was like he got like a vampire blood or something. Like unbelievable resurgence for him. He's been amazing. And what a character for the game, too. Like
awesome guy.
I can his Hall of Fame speech.
It'll be amazing. And lucky to be on a really good team too, right?
Which that's exactly
factors in, but you got to be on a good team to rack up wins.
Well, can you imagine if he went to an expansion team and they played like an expansion team? Like that was Minnesota or Columbus or, you know, like San Jose, you know, when they came into the league or Ottawa when they came into the league. Because that's what we all expected.
He'd be 40 wins back. You know, could be 30, 40 wins back.
He wouldn't be in the league anymore because somebody would be like,
noodles?
We're not paying $7 million for that. We're not paying for $7 million for a guy who's got six wins and 35 losses. Like, that's, you know, instead.
Instead, they went to the cup final.
I'll tell you what would have happened, Noodle. We used five goalies our first year in Atlanta. Nobody played a game outside of Atlanta again.
Yeah,
exactly. That would have been the flower.
Just a burial of your career, like basically. The Undertaker showed up.
Yeah, he would be beside Norm Miracle, Scott Fankhauser, Damian Rhodes.
Damian Rhodes.
Remember Damian Rhodes? I think Damian was there, wasn't he?
Oh,
Rhodes was our number one guy.
Yeah.
There
That's
was
right.
Frederick Kasivy, I believe he was there too.
He was there. Scott Lankow.
Yeah.
Damon Lankow's brother.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was
by the end, Noodles, we were asking guys to play, and they, I think they were running the other way. They're like, I'm not going.
No chance. Rather be in the American League. Might rack up some stats.
That's so funny.
Well, and even just with Pittsburgh too, right? Like he has been a part of history at so many different levels. Like he's had a truly incredible career, Marc-Andre Fleury, including the World Juniors. Remember when he shot it off Patrick O'Sullivan and it went
ups
in?
Ups and downs, yeah.
But like, he went first overall in arguably the greatest draft in history. And that 03 draft where Stahl went second, Horton went third, but that was like, you know, Richards, Carter, Getzlaff, Phaneuf, Suter, you know, they're all in that.
Perry,
Weber, Bergeron.
Weber.
Yeah, just loaded.
One guy,
Fleury went
if
first.
I'm not wrong, guys, one guy in that first round didn't hit.
Really?
I think it was a Ranger pick.
Yeah, it was Brett Jessamyn, his name was.
Yeah.
Oh, my
That's
Lord.
That's right. Everyone
Isn't
else
that
made
crazy?
It, played, and it's just – and Fleury went first, and you can't argue with it in retrospect.
No.
As great as a lot of players were and are in that draft and still remain big pieces of the league at this point. First overall, and
that is crazy.
Next thing you know, Sid goes – like they went – think about those drafts for Pittsburgh. In 03, it was Fleury. 04, it was Geno. 05, it was Sid. 06, it was Jordan Stahl, I believe.
Wow.
That was 4 years in a row. They had top three picks, and they hit all four of them out of the park.
They went from bankruptcy to that.
Yep. That'll do it.
Yeah.
That'll
true.
Do it for
That'll
you.
That'll fix a lot of problems.
Yeah, you're right. I'm looking at it. 12th overall, Hugh Jessamyn. He played two games. Like, it's
He was
crazy.
A monster. I want to say he was a big, huge guy that just didn't hit.
Yeah, 6'6", 231, and he looks like he has a mascot head. He's huge. Yeah.
A mascot head.
My Lord, like he is. Yeah, I'm Only looking at Brent Burns, Getzlaff, like Parisi.
Yep.
You know,
enough,
like Seabrook, Dustin Brown. Like
loaded.
Crazy.
Loaded.
That is
they'll
loaded.
There'll be 10 Hall of Fame. Like Weber and Bergeron went in the second round. Those are maybe the two best players of the draft. They went in the second round. Big Buff, I think, might have gone in that draft. And like it's just Pavelski went in like the seventh round. Like it was just an unbelievable draft. If you have time, look over the whole details of it. It's incredible.
I'm peeking at it.
Minimum 10 guys will go to the Hall from that draft alone. But Fleury, incredible career. And considering now that we're doing the whole throwback thing, we might as well play this clip that I teased earlier. Because we had Darcy Tucker on a couple of days ago, Ray. And he mentioned that his first exhibition game, he got up to Kamloops. And he said when he got there, he was a scorer, and he scored a lot in the dub.
Yeah.
But, you know, now he has a reputation of being a guy that would hit and fight and all that. But he's like, I didn't want to fight. I wasn't looking to fight. But I knew when I got to the WHL, there was a pretty good chance I would have to. And he said his first exhibition game, he threw a big open ice hit, and he's skating back up the ice, and his bench is yelling, like, turn around, look out, because someone was chasing him down the ice. And he turns around, and it's Brant Myers that was chasing him down the ice. And he said his gloves were off, and Myers just starts throwing bombs. And as a result, because we mentioned Myers, I went out that night and jumped on YouTube, and I was in a YouTube rabbit hole just seeing just brawl after brawl, him jumping in the bench, him jumping in the penalty box. And there was a news clip. This is in Lethbridge, Alberta, the home of Jamie Noodles McLennan's illustrious junior career.
Yeah.
And the coach's name, what's his name?
Bob Laux.
Bob Laux. Okay, so he's got a – He's got glasses on, a mustache. We have this clip. I want to play this for you. I was howling listening to this because he says it in such a straight-faced, matter-of-fact way, as if this is normal. This was back in 1991 after a hell broke out on the ice.
I don't know what happened. I think off the faceoff, their guy stuck Mo, and Mo cross-checked him in the face, and that's what got the whole thing going. And, you know, they sent a guy off the bench, which I don't like to see, but, you know, I guess that's hockey.
How great is that? Imagine you're from a different planet. You're like, can you explain that again? Like, he hit him in the face, and he hit him in the face, and someone jumped off the bench. But hey, that's hockey. What do you got?
Yeah, I guess that's hockey.
The best part of that for me was because they sent a guy off the bench, which I don't like to see. Like that.
Sent a guy off the bench.
Oh, that got like. That was awesome.
How good is
the
that?
The best thing that I saw, like that craziness, was we were in a brawl in Regina, and their coach was Bob Strum, and he was standing on the boards, and Strummer was yelling at us. you're dead, you're next, Ferraro, you're going down. It's like it's mayhem out there. Ron Hextall is fighting three guys. Stu Grimson and Lyndon Byers are on the other team.
Holy crap.
All of a sudden, Strum is yelling and yelling, and then he's gone. He's gone off the bench. And all you can see is this fist swinging down towards the floor. And so you know Strummer is down there somewhere. From there pops Les Jackson, our general manager from the Brandon Weekend.
No
Les
way.
Ran from the press box, pulled Strummer off the bench, and just beat the crap out of him. And so Strummer gets up. His glasses are sideways. His shirt's pulled out. And I'm looking at this thing, you know, trying to survive. And you're like, yeah, and we still got to play tonight.
Right.
That was at the start of the second period. We still had two periods to play.
Big 2 points on the board.
That
big 2 points. And this is probably what the post-game interview sounded like from whichever coach it was. Let's play it again.
I don't know what happened. I think off the face-off, their guy stuck Mo, and Mo cross-checked him in the face, and that's what got the whole thing going. And, you know, they sent a guy off the bench, which I don't like to see, but, you know, I guess that's hockey.
Cross-checked him in the face.
How great is that clip? That's
like
the WHL
that.
In the late 80s and early 90s.
You know what? Side note, Bob Lokes, his nickname was Little Brutus because he was a wrestler, a former wrestler.
What?
Little Brutus?
For Stampede Wrestling, Little Brutus.
No way.
And he wasn't a big guy, but he was very thick, and he had two sons that played in the Western Hockey League as well. But I'm telling you, like, he was gritty. I loved it. I've stayed in touch with him. I've lost touch with him a little bit recently, but, like, he was a guy that I loved as a coach, and it was so funny. Little Brutus was his nickname.
Bob Lokes. I don't know what happened there. Someone popped him in the face.
I don't know what happened. I think off the face-off, their guy stuck Mo, and Mo cross-checked him in the face, and that's what got the whole thing going. And, you know, they sent a guy off the bench, which I don't like to see, but, you know, I guess that's hockey.
I guess that's
in the Hall
hockey.
Of Fame. That should be on a plaque in the Hall of Fame. It's just outstanding.
Man.
And probably every weekend, scattered throughout the prairies.
There he is. There he is.
The greatest.
There's a different coach.
I love Lokes.
Hey, and just think,
awesome.
And then he'd go, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Koliakovo, send your son out to play. It'll be great.
Yeah, exactly. We take care of you. Great billet system here in Lethbridge. And the school system's outstanding. It's just, that's old school, man. That is something that, again, you just don't see anymore. And I think that's probably a positive if we're being honest.
Probably.
I think it's a positive.
The game has changed.
There were 15-year-olds on the ice, and that was the description of the game. 15-year-olds. And, just a bit of a different world.
Yeah.
But anyway, you'll have the call tonight. Leafs Jets on TSN 4. It should be a good one. And we'll see how it plays out. We'll break it down tomorrow at 5.
Talk to you, boys. Have a good day, guys.
You got it. There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days and the Maple Toyota Corolla-thon are back with rates from 0%. Shop in person or by appointment or online at MapleToyota.com. You'd think I'd know how to read that by now. Bob Lokes, that is such
that
a
was
great club.
We didn't get in it with Ray, but I actually went back to the game sheet of the Yaroslav Modrý two-pad stack block. Ray played that night. Ray
no
was on LA.
Way.
Oh, yeah,
come
no way!
Come on!
He was dash two that night. I sent the game sheet to the grappler. Like it was April 18th, 1999. So it was how many years ago? Almost
20,
to the day.
22 years ago,
almost to the day. And Ray played that night. So we'll have to get into it.
We will. You
got to
remind us because we'll
so
bring that
funny.
Back up 100%. And we'll play this Bobby Lokes a couple
all
more times.
Night. That is our greatest soundbite. I sent you guys a picture. Maybe Grappler could tweet it. It's me and Lokesy sitting side by side in the
so
team
great.
Picture.
Little
he
brutal.
Looks jacked in that
he is
photo.
Jacked. I'm
man.
Telling you. He was like a muscle man.
He looks like a muscle man in that picture.
I love him. He's a beauty. Like even
Must
when
have
I was
skipped
in
a lot of leg days.
He was a low center of gravity. If I had to describe Grit Grinder, Bobby Lokes is that. I'm telling you.
Wow.
He was a beauty. Lives in Calgary. When I was playing for the Flames, we stayed in touch. He came over to the house and stuff. Like he's somebody that really helped me through junior.
Absolutely.
Loved him. No, that's so funny. I can't believe that comment, though. That is the greatest clip ever.
That's the beauty of a rabbit hole, right? Like, it's just because Tucker brought it up, Brant Myers. I'm like, all right, I've heard of this guy. Let me go see what his story was. And it's just brawl after brawl after brawl. And then luckily I hung around till the end of the clip for whatever reason, and there's Bobby Laux. It's like, well, I don't know what happened there, but
I don't know what happened. I think off the face-off, their guy stuck Mo, and Mo cross-checked him in the face, and that's what got the whole thing going. And, you know, they sent a guy off the bench, which I don't like to see, but, you know, I guess that's hockey.
What he says, like, and Mo cross-checked him in the face, that's his own player. He's like,
absolutely.
Yeah, Mo, you know, guy stuck Mo, so Mo cross-checked him in the face. Like, yeah.
He's fine with seeing that. He likes to see that. Doesn't love seeing a guy jump over the bench, but cross-checking someone in the face in response to getting sticked, that is something that's just hockey, man. That's hockey, baby.
Yeah,
I love it. Leafs-Jets tonight, Jays at Kansas City tonight as well. We'll get to that a little bit later in the hour. And we got an update on who is going to be playing for the Raptors tomorrow night. And I don't see how this is anything but a tank. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. Like, the Raps won last night, and they're like, what are we doing here, guys? This can't continue. We'll tell you about that next. All right, so we're going to have ourselves a barn burner tomorrow night down in Florida when the Raptors – this is the Tampa Bay Raptors. Okay, I'm not going to accept that this is the Toronto Raptors based on what we're going to see tomorrow night. They take on Orlando. Orlando's tanking. They don't want to win anything. They want to lose by 50 every night. They would happily sign off, lose by 50. They want to tank. They want to get the highest pick possible. The Raptors are resting, okay? Resting. Load management for a team that is out of the playoffs. Yeah. Resting Kyle Lowry, Pascal Siakam, and OG Anunoby tomorrow night for their game against Orlando. And it sounds as if Gary Trent Jr. and Bembry and Harris are also doubtful. So I would think Trent probably won't go because of the ankle and because of the rest. So you're going to have Lowry, Siakam, and Anunoby out. Lowry's been resting for a while. He is nagging injuries right now. But Siakam and Anunoby are in their mid-20s. Mid-20s, there's no reason why they're not playing tonight. Just rest. You know, you're not going to play. Like, it would appear as if the reaction to that win last night was, what the hell do you think you're doing?
Don't do that again.
And Orlando is horrendous also, so we got to find a way to lose. So now your three best players aren't playing. And Van Vliet may return tomorrow night, but I'm not even convinced that's going to happen.
Hayes, you just said it. The Orlando Magic are tanking too. What type of game are we going to see? Is this going to be the scene out of Along Came Polly where this guy is putting up raindrops from behind the arc and it's just brick central?
This is going to be semi-pro tomorrow night, basically.
Yeah.
Like Jackie Moon is going to be out there setting picks, and it's going to be awful. Like,
blocking
really
Sakaitis' free throws.
I actually took my wife. That was one of our first dates. We went to see Semi-Pro at Young and Eglinton.
And movie.
I think it is a really underrated movie. I think Semi-Pro is a really 100%. Good movie.
So funny.
I'm a Will Ferrell guy, though. Like, if you're not a Will Ferrell, there is no middle ground with Will Ferrell. None. No. You either think he's hysterical or he's the most annoying human being on earth. There's no middle ground, and I happen to think he's brilliant.
I think he's brilliant hysterical. Too.
Yeah,
I love his movies.
Love his movies, and for me, the greatest cast member in the history of SNL. And I know an older generation will say Eddie Murphy and shut up, you can't accept anything.
Right,
but Eddie
Chevy
Murphy.
Chase and Eddie Murphy. You name it, but
for me, it's Ferrell. He's the greatest.
Yeah, I mean, I would challenge with Farley because I loved Farley, and
Farley's close.
I'll be honest, because. Slightly biased. I don't know if I ever told you guys. I actually attended Saturday Night Live twice, live.
Twice?
What?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so the first time, I'm drawing a blank. It was right after Pulp Fiction. Who, you know, Travolta.
So Travolta was that would have been like 94, 95.
Yeah, Travolta was the host right after Pulp Fiction. Long hair.
Yep.
And they did a bunch of skits. And Seal, do you remember the musical guest Seal?
He's got like eight songs. Yeah. Only eight songs, but they're all bangers.
They're all, and he married like a supermodel. But like
Heidi Klum, it was more than just a supermodel. We're talking like the top 91%. Yeah.
So I went to that. There's two. They go to the rehearsal. The rehearsal's like 2 hours long, from like 8 to 10. And then the live show's like 10:30 to 12, where they cut some of the rehearsal skits.
Right.
Like, they do more. I went to both. It was unbelievable.
That'd be awesome. Mm-hmm.
The rehearsal is so relaxed because they're not live, so they're just dinking around, and
and they're
Farley
too, right?
Yeah.
So that would have been Farley, Sandler, like Chris Rock, David Spade,
all of them. Like it was like a rock star.
Would Mike Myers and Dana Carvey still been there?
I don't
by
know
then?
If they were on.
I don't remember
that, you know, that night, but I just remember
Kevin Nealon.
Yeah,
awesome,
like.
Man.
The Norm MacDonald warmed the crowd up. He came out and talked to everyone before, and
awesome.
And then the live show was a little bit more, you know, cut and dry. Like, but Farley was brilliant that night. Like, I remember just being mesmerized with him. And then I went to another one where Janet Jackson was the star and the singing. She was both.
That'd be
and
pretty cool.
That was cool. So
yeah.
I've been twice, so I'm kind of...
That's,
you know,
a bucket list item for me, man.
Oh,
I'd love to go see SNL live. I'd love to.
Yeah, like,
who was
pretty
the
cool.
guy that did the cowbell? Was that Will Ferrell, or was
that
Chris,
was Will
Chris
Ferrell.
Farley?
Yeah,
was
it was
Chris
Will Ferrell did cowbell. Okay. That was with Christopher Walken, and that was when Fallon was in that. And it's really a great debate for, you know, we're talking over 40 years where different generations would have different views. The original cast, like you mentioned, with Chevy Chase and John Belushi,
right.
And then Aykroyd came in Aykroyd was a day one guy. It was who am I thinking of? That Bill Murray came in year
Bill Murray.
Two. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and then Eddie Murphy kind of saved the show in the early to mid 80s. And some of his skits are unbelievable. Like when he came back and hosted last year, a couple of years ago, that was amazing. And I thought him reviving Gumby and, you know, all those different incredible skits that he had throughout his career. But everyone's got a different viewpoint on who they think. Like, Kate McKinnon's had a great run. She'd been a part of it for about a decade. She's an all-time great cast member, too. But Tina Fey, I mean, go down the list. There's so many
there's
just incredible.
A lot of superstars.
A lot of superstars. Yeah, but for me, Will Ferrell would be at the top. But Farley would be close.
Yeah.
Really close.
I agree. Like, I think I love Will Ferrell and Farley. Like, those are my two, like, guys.
Phil Hartman was great on that show, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
unreal.
It is kind of neat, though. It's neat to look back on that stuff. But I was really fortunate. Like, I went when I was with the Islanders, and then I went when I was with the Rangers. So it was pretty cool.
So like, how do you get access to tickets? It's like
kind of PR people, right? Like, you know, with the Rangers, it's like whatever you want. Like, you know, the Rangers have access to that whole city. With
right.
the Islanders, it was Darius Kasparaitis. Do you remember that name?
Of course.
Oh, of course.
Absolutely.
Darius Kasparaitis weaseled us in there. Like, he wanted to go, and then I can't remember how it unfolded, but he like got the tickets and then couldn't go, so like gave them to me. So I was like, I'll go. Yeah,
oh, absolutely, man.
Nice.
Because there's not a lot of people in there, right? Like, there's maybe
it's a studio audience. Yeah, like kind of, you know, two layers down low, and then they've got the rafters, like the people kind of up top.
Right.
I was up top the whole time. I didn't sit. I wasn't in floor seats. I was kind of in the balcony.
Right. And it's at 30 Rock, right?
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
That'd be cool, man. That'd
really
definitely
neat.
Be a bucket list item.
Yeah.
Noodles, how much are you dying to get into a movie theater right now, though?
Yeah, I've talked about it. You know, every time I'm on, like, the 407, I'm driving by, like, the Richmond Hill one, you see it on the side of the road. Like, it makes me sad because, you know, the two ones that I actually went to as much as anybody was that one and then the Scarborough one right by CTV Studios.
Yeah.
And it's just weird. Like, I would love to get back there. I talked the other day about popcorn and stuff. Like, I miss the Cineplex popcorn, but it's just – I miss the whole experience, right? Like, that's the
– Well, we're further away from it today than it feels like at any point in 13
I
months.
Know.
That's what's so disheartening.
You see the numbers and
yeah,
stuff like
just,
that. But
crazy.
I will say this. You're starting to see vaccine, and I know there are people – like, I'm starting to know people. Like, I don't know if you guys know, but – you know people, like friends in Canada that are getting it done.
Yeah.
So that's
a good
sign,
right? Oh, absolutely, for sure. And you know, the light at the end of the tunnel, I feel like we've used that phrase a million times in 13 months, but it's still there. It's not like the light has been turned out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a difficult time, you know, for a lot of people in the province and throughout the GTA in particular. Basically from the west end of Hamilton to the east end of Oshawa up past Wonderland, that's the hot spot of hot spots in the whole country. You know, it's Toronto. It's the greater Toronto area, and we're dealing with it, and we'll get through it. But anyway, the Raptors again tomorrow night. no Lowry, no Siakam, no Ananobi coming off a win last night that I'm not sure they expected to get. But credit to a guy like Chris Boucher, had a great night last night again. I think Flynn's playing well. Like, he didn't shoot that well last night, but he's aggressive. He's putting up shots, you know, and he was the only guard that was an option last night. He got his minutes and he performed well. So silver linings for sure. But
even at the bigs position, you know, Ken Birch and Gillespie, like, these guys are getting rebounds. And
I love that Baynes isn't playing, finally.
Yeah.
Like, what took so long to not play Aaron Baynes?
And you know what? Like, yesterday with the – exactly. Yesterday with the game that you saw, you're like, okay, are they still hanging on to try to win games? And then, you know what? They get a glimmer of good news today because of the team that they're chasing just lost their best player. And then it's like they come out and say, oh, it doesn't change our plan. We're still not going to play, guys. And it's
exactly. They don't want it. Like, this, like, there's no other way to describe it. At no point can the Raptors claim they're trying if you're giving Siakam and Ananobi rest when it's not a back-to-back. Like, Lowry's a different story. He's older. He's dealing with some injury problems himself.
Right.
Simply saying Siakam and Ananobi are not playing. Like, unless you think you're so emboldened by a win over San Antonio that you can beat Orlando, which you might anyway. They might beat Orlando anyway without these guys. But you can't. Yeah. You can at no point with a straight face claim to people in Tampa or all the way up here in Toronto that you really want to get into that play-in when you're doing what you're about to do tomorrow night. You just can't.
Agreed.
Like,
right.
No one can accept that for anything else other than what it is. Tanking is in their best interest, and they've all bought into it, I guess, including the players. Players are cool with it, too.
Yeah.
That's what it would appear as anyway, because, you know, maybe Ananobi
I'm okay with it. You said you're
okay with it.
I'm fine
with it, too.
Just stop winning games.
Yeah, but I'm not convinced they're going to lose tomorrow night.
I'm not either,
without all
man.
These guys.
I'm not
as bad
either.
As Orlando is.
That's true.
I'm not either.
Howard Beck will join us. We'll get his take on this, NBA insider, on what's going to happen in that game tomorrow night between the Raptors and Orlando, and a lot of different stories throughout the NBA. Jay's back in action tonight. A near-perfect game last night. We'll get back into that conversation. And the Leafs in action tonight. Matthews will not go. And it sounds like their weekend is going to be shuffled around here because they're supposed to be in Vancouver on Saturday night. That will no longer be the case. Get you more updates on that as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Howard Beck will join us, NBA Insider, in about 15 minutes. We'll get back into the Leaf game tonight. Thinking of blocking the grappler from our group chat because it's really starting to bother me what he's pushing for here. But he may not be wrong because I guess we're all waiting for Doug Ford, who's meeting with his cabinet, and they're going to come up with some sort of new plan or potentially a new plan. Those are the reports. Nothing is written in stone yet. But the grappler is of the belief that golf is going to be shut down next. And that's certainly not something I want to hear.
Can't happen.
It better not happen. It better not happen, but I wouldn't be shocked
either.
People
need to be outdoors.
But does that mean, like, the parks would get shut down and stuff like that again?
How stupid would that be? Like, we're 13 months into this. Can we figure some stuff out? You know, like, that's what I expect. Park shut down, golf shut down, don't go outside, everyone stay inside. Guess what? That's a big part of the problem. Like, the messaging. Get people outside.
Well, there is a solution. It's just that it's called vaccination, and the doses are like. I mean, I talk to people in the States every day. They're like, "Yeah, it was a tough ride, but now I'm, back working out. I'm back doing this. I'm back." That's where we're headed. It's just we are 6 months behind. Realistically, we are six months behind.
I think we're further than that. But
well, I mean, depending on the amount, how the rollout, we're 6 months behind the U.S. And the U.S. are rolling. Like, there are 4.5 million people a day getting vaccinated, like, or more. And we need to get to a situation where, it's that accessible to everyone. And, it's not there yet, unfortunately.
No, I could go play golf in Hayes. You could go play golf, and we could not even see each other. You get there, you get your own cart, you get to the hole, you don't have to stay close to each other. And you drive your own ball and hit it.
You're preaching to the choir here. Like, I am
not
aware.
What is wrong with that? Like, people need the mental sanity to get outdoors.
Well, that's a different layer to all this that, I'm not going to say it gets overlooked. But, you got to give people the ability to feel like they can do something, at some point. But
weather's beautiful outside. We got to stay indoors? Come on.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is all speculation at this point anyway, but I don't think the grappler's alone. I think most people are thinking, where are we going here? What's going to come out of it? And listen, the numbers are what they are. We're setting records in terms of daily numbers.
Yeah,
it's not a good spot right now in Toronto and in Ontario at this point. But the Leafs are in action tonight. Winnipeg is in town. Hellebuck will get the start. Jack Campbell for the Leafs. We'll touch on that. Auston Matthews out tonight. Try to get an update on what's going to happen this weekend because the Leafs are supposed to be in Vancouver as well. And Raptors in action tomorrow night. Jays in action tonight as well in Kansas City, so we'll get to that too. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson. You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Acceptedated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA license 12616.
This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.